Good morning. I really appreciated the opening as well. I really appreciated what Dwayne shared last week. You didn't mention David's census last week, did you?
No, it was the message before that.
Yeah, okay. If you're on the YouTube and you're watching this and you haven't seen Dwayne's message, I'd really recommend it. It was called Delivered in Childbearing?
Saved in Childbearing.
Oh, yeah, right. I came away with a statement that the gospel is a call to true femininity for all of us, men and women, like femininity. Theo made some real good points that the victory is in submitting and surrendering. When we lived in Oregon, a young lady wrote a song, Proverbs 31, woman song, and she taught it to all the young girls, and it was getting sung all the time, and just one of the lines is. I guess I won't try to sing it. I don't really remember how it goes, but Lord, make of me a woman, and then goes on, and it was real catchy, real pretty, and so I'd all alone, and I catch myself singing, Lord, make of me a woman, and like, whoa, what did I just say? But then I thought about it, and I was like, no, yeah, you know, like I'm his bride, and I think that's, I had this big revelation also at that time, how that modern homes, even so-called Christian homes, are out of order. Wives don't serve and wives don't submit. And I was like, oh, that's why the modern false church doesn't serve and submit to God. Like God says, here's a picture of the relationship I want to have with you, like a marriage. I feel like me and Dwayne hear this all the time when we're out working. Oh, because we have to make decisions about concrete, and we'll ask the guy, and he says, oh, I better ask the boss. It's a real common, we just shudder. When we hear that, and I'm like, oh, a marriage, like the wife's the boss. Okay, I don't have that kind of relationship with God. Like, we can't get it. I think similarly, it's taken me a while. Like, I've had some big breakthroughs, revelations about, like, I didn't grow up with a father, and so this whole concept that God wants to be a father is just kind of, I mean, I know what a father is. You know, I saw him on TV and read about him in books. But only after becoming a father and having children and being like, oh, what would that be to be small and needy and have this guy who's so big, so strong, he's so smart, and it's his job in life to help you and take care of you. And that's what he thinks about, that's what he's doing, like, wow, and he just loves you, and what a neat thing that God would want to be that to us. I want to talk about, I guess it's an element of femininity, and I'm going to try to capture it. I guess my main thing is going to be with David's census. I'm just going to read the account in 1 Chronicles 21. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, Jehovah, make his people 100 times so many more as they be, but my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab, wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and as they of Israel were 1,000,000, and 100,000 men that drew sword, and Judah was 430,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And then God gives him a choice of his punishments. And he chooses a pestilence in which ...70,000 men died. And so that's all I'll read. And I never understood that. Like, what's the big deal? He numbered the people. Like, we have censuses. America has censuses. It doesn't seem like this bad thing or something. And so I've given them that some thought, I'd like to share them with you. The couple of kind of obvious reasons for taking a census would be for taxation purposes, to figure out how much money you can get through taxes or wealth. And then the other one would be to know how powerful you were militarily. And it seems like one of the things God's always doing is winning battles with the few, and always trying to teach us it's not about numbers, it's not about might or strength, it's about being on good terms with me so that I can help you win and not need to teach you a lesson. God wanted Israel to go to the battles because they were the right battles. I mean, this is Old Testament stuff, but either because they were going against the people of God or going to do some good thing, and to decide to do it like David and Goliath. Like, David didn't, well, I don't know, maybe he kind of did, but sort of decide or estimate that he could win. But in general, I think his answer was, win or not, like, this is just the right thing to do, and I'm, even though I'm a boy, I'm not going to stand by. And this is like the repeated story of how Israel and armies and men of Israel do, and how God wants us to do. He wants to do right because it's right, and not because we've made some evaluation and decided that we're strong enough and we got this. The way that we should be evaluating ourselves is looking for sin in our hearts or anything that's not submitted to God. Luke 18, verse 10 says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I want to try to, that publican took a census. He said, I do this, I do this. Okay, I'm doing pretty good. If I said publican, I meant the Pharisee. And the publican did the opposite, and he just looked at his faults and saw his need. I think a lot about humility. It should be a goal. God resists the proud. And what does he do to the humble? Gives grace to the humble. Thanks. So that's what we want to be. But it's this tricky thing, and probably we've all heard these little sayings. One is, if you think you're humble, then you're not. And then similarly, this would just be an observation I made. And this is actually sarcasm. Maybe I want to figure out how to reword it. But this thing that I notice people saying is, or it would seem that people feel this way, the important thing about being humble is to be sure that you say that you're proud. because, oh, he just said he's proud. He's actually humble, like that it works that way. Maybe I'm not phrasing this right, but see if you can get part of this. I don't think humility is necessarily a low estimation of oneself, but rather a refusal to take a census of our strengths or accomplishments to determine our worth. If that makes sense, like it's not that a humble person has a low estimation of themselves as much as they're like, I just do right. I'm not trying to figure out how good I am. I'm not worried about it. Like I'm not thinking about myself. How good do you think you are? God's the judge. I like that it says he that humbleth himself. He didn't say the humble person, but somebody that does this thing, humbling themselves. It's something you can do. It's not something you just sort of are or aren't. Maybe if you do it enough, then you will be. But Luke 15:26. Okay, this is the prodigal son story. We all know it. I won't go over it, but I want to draw attention to this part at the end. So the son goes away, comes back home, and the father meets him. They have a party, and then the brother comes home. He says from working. And wonders what's going on. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. Here we have him taking a census. I've been doing this. Where's the justice? Where's my proper pay? Where's what I deserve? How unfair and backwards is this? I hope when you hear that or when you think about that, it seems really ugly. I mean, maybe we can understand why people think this way, and this. I think that's the reason Jesus is sharing that. We want to recognize if that's within ourself. But what an ugly thing! What an ugly attitude! What an ugly exercise to be dwelling on your accomplishments and what you've done. Luke 14:8 says, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him." And he that bid thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. And then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For he who exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So he's saying, don't try to figure out about how popular you are, how much he likes you, how worthy you are. Like don't even take an evaluation. Go to the low one, and let the master put you in your place. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. 1 Corinthians 13 says that charity doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. And it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. This is how God is and how we ought to be. So this feminine quality or attitude that we should have isn't trying to get justice, isn't trying to get its fair share. is not trying to get recognition. In my youth, there was many times when I worked a job and I'd always notice how, why is the boss is making more than me. How come he's running a skid steer and I'm running a shovel? How come I'm hauling blocks and he's driving a truck? But he's making all the money. What an awful attitude. just didn't get it. A friend of mine told me a story. He hired a young man, and they're working. And my friend gets a phone call, so he stops working for a second. And he takes his phone call and he looks over, and the young man that he hired has also stopped working and doing something on his phone. And my friend says, "What? Something wrong? What'd you do? Why'd you stop?" And the guy just, very smugly, sarcastically said, "Oh well, I saw you on your phone. I figured it must be break time." Like he was basically communicating, "If you're not working, I'm not working." This is real. It's not the proper attitude for for a servant. When you have a good boss, we ought not be trying to figure out what we've earned or what we're worth. We want to be investing ourselves and our time for the profit of others, and recognize that when others are profiting off of our labors and our sacrifices and our investments, Teo, we win. That's winning. The world would say, "Oh, you lost, man. You worked, but somebody else got it." Like, no, God sees, and that's what He wants. Good parents invest themselves. Invest their lives so that their children will profit. Youth, I think a lot. I'm thinking a lot of the youth when I share this message. I can see how easy it would be for a youth to have some of these attitudes and feel like they invest and feel like they should be recognized for their investments in the home. Maybe even think that they sometimes do more work than their parents. And I just want to say that, it's a precious place to be in, to have the opportunity to be young and strong, and invest in your home, in your parents' home, in your brothers and sisters' lives. And it's just this small window of precious opportunity to do that particular thing, as things usually go. But God knows. Boys and girls grow up and have homes of their own. So they only have this small window. And I just tell you, I look back at my young adulthood with just shame, regret, and longing. I wish I could go back, Walter, and just invest in the home of my youth. Just pour myself out into it. But I can't. And I hope that my conveying that to you and any of you who are in that position, you've got something I wish I could have had, wish I could have done. Like, it's right in front of you. invest yourself in your home with your labor. Invest yourself in the care and love of your siblings. If your siblings have bad attitudes or doing something wrong, don't despise them, but love them. Don't say, "Oh, that's not my problem to deal with." Like, take it on. Look at the needs in the home, whatever they are, and embrace them and take part in meeting them. So we ought to just have an attitude that I'm here and I'm in my place, and I to do the best that I can with what I've got, and I want to be used up for my Lord. Maybe that's your parents, maybe that's your husband, maybe that's your boss, but to all of us, it's to God. And let Him decide the pay, and I'm not going to worry about it. But when you have a good boss, you don't have to worry about that. There's been different times that I've worked for people, and the situation was just such that I didn't Maybe I was trying to be humble or to humble myself, and rather than tell them what I thought I was worth, I just let them pay me whatever. And just, there's been many times that they paid me way more than I would have was thinking to ask for. And Dwayne and I do things differently now, but at the beginning when I started working for him, I can't quite remember the system that we had, but there was a few times when I was like, I worked really hard today, and I worked a lot of hours this week, and boy, I hope he's paying attention. I hope he doesn't forget. I hope he pays me good. And just the very few times that I took the time and tried to figure out what the minimum was that I thought I should be getting, he always paid me way more, and I quit worrying about it. When you have a good boss, you could have a boss that takes advantage of you too. I'm just saying, God is a good boss, and one of the most important things is that I guess I want to communicate is he sees and he cares. There's the false gospel's got this element to it. To the youngest child, you easily say, you don't want to go to hell, do you? You want to go to heaven, don't you? Well, receive salvation or whatever they'd say, right? However it is. It's this appeal to, there's a real famous message where the guy says, what can God do for me? And we ought to be returning to God because we're his, and we recognize we went astray, and he's very nice to invite us back and have us back. And if he wants me to lay down my life, that's what I'll do. If he wants me to go fight the Philistines, that's what I'll do. I'm his. And it's just a recognition of that. And I just think the false gospel is often presented as, oh, going to heaven's going to be great. And you're going to have so much better of a life here on earth. And you're going to get great things up there. And what can God do for me that... This thing that I experienced, and I've heard others express, having experienced this testimony, like at one time I thought back on, I think maybe I thought I'd made a deal, maybe I'd made a deal with the devil, and I thought, oh, maybe that's an unforgivable sin, and I can't be saved. And I've heard other people express similar ideas, like, oh, I can't be saved. And it's just like, well, don't, I say saved, like, I'm disqualified from eternal life. And being reconciled to God, I'm doomed. And so I kind of would just, don't worry about it. Just serve God. Just do right. My friend of mine who went through the same train of thought, like his answer to himself was, well, he's worthy to be served. And it wasn't a matter of whether or not I have hope of a reward, but rather I have opportunity to do this right thing. So dwelling in the secret place is something that's mentioned in the Old Testament. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of his almighty hand. Sorry, something like that. And then Jesus gives these teachings like, go in your closet when you pray, that your Father who sees in secret, you know, he's like encouraging you, like, God sees. You don't need recognition. You lose points. That's not what you want. You want God to see, and you want to, and if you don't tell anybody, then you and God have this special secret thing that you mess it all up. Now it's not you and him anymore. Now it's you, him, and somebody else you wanted some recognition from. And then one more thing, last thing I want to share, it's related. Not directly related, but I want to talk to the young adults. Now I want to talk to maybe some of the younger people, and I'm going to tell you something that your parents probably tell you, and I just kind of want to remind you about it. And if parents, if you hear me saying this, and it's not something that you teach your children, then I want to admonish you to consider it. But there's this thing that I see: somebody's got something, and then somebody else says, "Oh, let me see that," and the person that's got it goes like this. Or holds on to it tight, and there's a little bit of strife. And I just want to make sure, I want to tell you what I teach my children. If somebody tries to take something from you, what? One of my people. Dito. That's right. Let them have it. If they ought not have it, say, hey, don't take that. hey, you just, please don't grab. Please give that back. And if they don't, then you go tell mama and papa. And this is the thing that I'm talking about. They'll sort it out. It's not for us to sort out. And a child hears that and is like, but it's mine. And that's a census right there. You just took a census. You figured out what was yours. Don't do that. Yes, it's yours, but God knows and God sees. And it's not your job to teach your little brother, prevent them from committing some form of injustice. I want you to try to remember that. I see it sometimes, and if you've got something and somebody tries to, I want you to try to develop a habit in your life. If somebody tries to grab something from you, don't strive, don't try to keep it from them. Let them have it and say, hey, you just grabbed that. Please don't do that. And if they won't give it back, then go tell your parents. Little people shouldn't be grabbing, right? But big people shouldn't be trying to keep stuff from them either. If any parents just totally disagree with me, maybe you can straighten me out at the end here. That's all that I have. I welcome corrections, comments.
Just want to say thank you for sharing to both of you brothers. I appreciate your messages. I think I was able to follow along and be very edified by it. Surrender is just such a big thing, Teo. I'm pretty sure I'll have to work on that one all my life. I look at Israel a lot and how that they, you know, how they, the big difference was just their surrender to God, whether they would have victory or not. There was times, one time that comes to my mind was when Egypt and some other countries, I think, or nations were surrounding them, and they took them, and they completely destroyed them. But then as soon as they called on the Lord and they humbled themselves, the Lord, right, just at that time gave them victory and turned things completely around whenever they humbled themselves and surrendered. So much so that in the text it uses the word humble, I think, if I remember right. So I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate your thoughts there, buddy. Just many good things that I can work on. And I thought maybe you'll share some more about femininity. I guess that's, thought maybe you have something more to say, but mostly just that we're, you know, he's our husband, right? He's our, and we're his bride. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thing to consider, just to bring us a little bit on the level of the sisters, maybe in some ways, like we're equal in that way. Yeah. So praise God. I just wanted to say that, and I don't have any correction to make concerning giving. I think even lately we were teaching our children that very same thing. Just if there is such a scenario, just give, let go. It's a good answer, Dito. Just let them have it. The parents will deal with it, and so that's good. I thought I had another thought. If I think of it, I'll share it later.
Thank you, brother, buddy. I appreciated that too. I wanted to share one thought, and then I think you probably know this, but Hebrew, the words in Hebrew are either masculine or feminine, and the word for wisdom is feminine. I always thought that was a blessing. I'd tell people when witnessing, they would say, you know, they just make it seem like it's such an oppressive religion for women, and I just have to share to them that wisdom is feminine. You know. Another thought I had was, recently I've been thinking, like, if God is our boss, what type of people he would want to work for him. And there's two type of people in the workforce. There's probably more than that, but two people that I think of is, there's an employee. He's not necessarily wanting to be there. He's just there because he gets paid, you know, so he goes to get paid. And then there's volunteers. They go because they want to be there. and they're not necessarily doing it for any return. They're just there because they want to help out. And I mean, there are employees that have that spirit. You know, they're there. They try to make the most of it and willingly offer themselves. But a lot of people are just employees, and God wants volunteers. And I want to be a volunteer. I totally agree with your that what you teach your children. I think that's a blessing. I'd like to try to implement that in our house more. God bless you.
Thanks, buddy. That was good. Yeah, I too appreciated what you tell your children. Sometimes I appreciate the way you say things because you bring a fresh perspective to a good, trustworthy principle that maybe makes it clear in a new way or something like that. I just really appreciate that as a good emphasis there at the end. One thing, you were talking about femininity, and I think I understand you right. Like, I think what you're saying is there are these servant traits that we all ought to embody and have. And yet, like, I also think it's important, and I don't think you weren't saying this, but I think it's important to emphasize that, like, there's a right and a beautiful way to be masculine, and there is a right and a beautiful way to be feminine, and they're uniquely so. Like, there's an ugly way to be masculine. You could be harsh, make snap judgments, uncompassionate, kind of a tyrant, I suppose. Could be negative ways to look at masculinity. And the opposite side of that for a woman could be being vain or conceited or subtle in dealings, maybe manipulative. So there are beautiful ways to be masculine, and there are beautiful ways to be feminine. And I think we ought to strive for those while not becoming feminine or becoming masculine if we're a man or a woman, respectively. I'm not sure how to say that right. I think there's a very good way to be masculine, a very good way to be feminine. And I think the femininity that you were encouraging us to is something that could be found within masculinity or found within femininity, either one. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say, and I appreciated the census. I guess, yeah, that was one other idea I had, is like, I wonder too if pride is born out of all of us wanting to make others aware of our census and our power and our strength, or bragging. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, I guess I thought, you know, like, God is masculine, and he's taught us, like, he came as a servant, and he's compassionate, and he's forgiving, and he's not a big railing tough guy. And then similarly, I thought the opposite for the wrong understanding of femininity, this thing that worldly people say is oppressive or whatever, is this idea that, like, women don't speak, women don't have opinions, nobody cares about their opinions, just get to work and serve everybody. And that's not what God wants. Like, I don't think that's the kind of bride that he wants. We have, you know, many examples of his people appealing to him in a feminine way. Like, you can't, you don't just argue with Jehovah, but, you know, when you approach him properly, he's very receptive. He repents even of stuff. He hears his bride, and values her. I don't think as men, like, when we say femininity, we just mean, as some would say, a doormat or something. You know, a man wants a companion that's his friend that he can. And he cares about her opinions. And anyway,
yeah, I just want to say thank you too, and it's very edifying. And I think we all, from if the children were paying attention, all the way up to the oldest adults here can apply these things to our life. And if we'd, you know, if we'd all even do a little better, if each person here would do a little better in applying this very, very true principle to our lives, like, it would make things a lot, lot better. And I'm pretty sure, like, if we'd all just be honest with ourselves, like, oh yeah, we see where we can improve. I see where I can improve in this. And it's one of those principles that we must endeavor to apply to our own lives. Jesus, the King of the universe, what does it say about him? He didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister. That's Jesus. Let's just ask ourselves if this was our last day of our life, if we died today, would we have left that reputation? Would people say of us that man was not here to be ministered to, but he was here to minister? We should fight our way to the bottom instead of to the top. I think we've kind of heard this sounded through the opening and the main message here. The way to victory is surrender. The way, as Robert Caine would say, the way up is down, the way in is out. The way that this whole world and the concept of it is the wrong way around. And as we fight our way to the bottom, you know, several things. You find out there's plenty of room there because there's not many people there. But you also find out you're on top. It's you find out that, oh, this whole thing was upside down. The disciples got accused of turning the world upside down, and in reality, they were turning it right side up. What's Einstein's philosophy? The law of relativity? I can't remember. Something like that. Depends what you compare it to. But there's a very common, it's very common within humanity to think that we are being mistreated. We are not getting our fair share, and it comes from taking a census. And I thought about it when you read that in 1 Corinthians, where it says love thinks keeps track of, what is it? Love does not keep track of evil. Record of wrongdoings, and he's talking about record of others' wrongdoings, and I think it could equally be said, like, and love does not keep record of your achievements, your own achievements and others' wrongdoings. If anything, it's the other way around. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen, brother buddy. Like the tongue, humility is something that constantly admonishing for. You know that phrase that you mentioned to begin with, though, hey, if you think you're humble, you're not. I wonder if it's a catch-all, like, you know, don't judge, lest you be judged. I mean, Moses, if Moses did write that in Numbers, now the meekest man on the earth was Moses. That's kind of, you know, Moses is talking about himself, you know? I mean, yeah, and I'm saying that we all need to get that humility, but I think sometimes that other people praise you, and we look at our own heart, and my wife lives with me, and she's always correcting me, saying, now you can do better than that, and so I realize I have that need. But, I mean, that could be a catch-all, you know, if you think you're humble, you're not. Well, I think a lot of you brothers are humble. I really do, and you know, I want to imitate that, but that could be, you know, all the roads lead to the same, all denominations go to the same place. One of those, it just throws you off. If David was a man after God's own heart, which, since, you know, he was, but of course he sinned, senses, adultery, this and that, murder. But how about Jesus is God after man's own heart? And, you know, one time, one of the few times he opens up, well, he opens up a lot. John said we, many other things would never be recorded. But one of the few times he opens up and says, hey, this is what I'm like. Come unto me, all that you labor and are heavy laden, and learn of me, take your yoke upon, and because I am humble of heart. Lord, help us to be like him. I mean, we could never outdo his humility. And the Lord be, and I'm glad for you, humble brethren. You are humble. The Lord be magnified.
I just wanted to add a thought that I was going to say. Just for me, the thing with David and his sins is, it's just right from the beginning it says that Satan did this. Like he stood up and he provoked or tempted David to do this. So right there we know already it's Satan's idea to go about things like this. I just wanted to point that out. I think you did too, but for me that kind of explains why it was wrong right from... yeah, then you brought out, well, how we can see even in other ways why it was wrong.
Isn't there another account of this very same thing, though? That
I kind of think there is.
God had him.
Yeah. But was it considered wrong that time?
What I mean is it's the same event, but I believe like it's sort of like God was proving him that he used the devil to fulfill it. Is what I would gather out of that. Like it's the same story from a different angle. Like God's like, okay, now you've got all these things in your hand. Go take a census of the people, even though I've told you not to.
I know I've read something like that, but I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I too just want to say thank you for all that I've heard, all the comments. It's been a blessing and have many thoughts, but I guess I'll suffice with I want to do it and encourage us all to do it.
in the sight of the Lord.